So Andrew Saltz, Carla Johnson, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thanks for having us.
You both teach at Robeson High School, part of the Philadelphia School District. And there's a narrative out there, you say, Andrew, you wrote on your blog recently, of a well-funded, well-executed campaign to convince people that schools are propagated with intractable parasites, teachers you're talking about, right? The spearhead has always been horror stories of unionized cronies and their shenanigans and the poor teachers who have to pick up the slack. So what is the narrative out there, and what have you seen in your actual experience?
Whenever I pay attention to the debate, and I pay attention probably more than I should, I see that the problem is these bottom teachers. And they're here, fire the bottom 10%. We need to fire these teachers. We need to get rid of their job protections and get these terrible teachers out of here. But I've been in the district almost a decade, and I just haven't seen it. I've seen a lot of teachers who could do better if they were put in the right environment, and a lot of teachers that could do better if they were so motivated, and I think that's possible. But the idea that there are these, I use the word parasites, just feeding off the system, I just don't think it's true. And the idea that you can't fire a teacher, so you just got to put up with them, is also not true.
And so you say the ineffective teachers that may be in the system are often kind of coached out of it before they're necessarily fired, so they don't show up on the statistics, right?
If you talk to any good principal, they're going to tell you that's a key strategy. If you come to someone and say, you're not doing a very good job, and I've worked with you hard, maybe this isn't for you, a lot of people are going to take that to heart.
And Carla, is that your experience too?
That has been my experience. I've been teaching for 17 years now, and basically, I mean, you have teachers who are in the system. They hide, you know, they go maybe to a big comprehensive or something like that, and they just hide. You don't bother me. I don't bother you. The kids are happy. They'll just pass the kids and go about their way. But as Andrew said, that is not the norm. What is an obstacle to students getting better is the fact that we don't have enough resources, is the fact that we don't have enough computers. I mean, it's just, I mean, the list of what kids need to actually succeed goes way beyond being able to get rid of one teacher.
Let me just add, I think it's a matter of priority. What bothers me and why I wrote this is the priorities are so messed up. You have this big thing on what's called last in, first out, which is the layoff process. The most senior teachers are not laid off. It's always the youngest. And you have all these people really pushing, get rid of last in, first out, get rid of last in, first out. Why is our focus how we lay off teachers? In the place where we graduate 55% of the kids, why are we having the conversation, who do we lay off? Shouldn't the conversation be, we shouldn't lay off anybody, we need more caring adults in these buildings? And it drives me crazy when that is our priority, is how do we fire people in a place where we desperately need more nurses, more counselors, more teachers.
So in your post, you wrote about a specific incident with a specific teacher who you call Miss Herring as a pseudonym. Tell me a little bit about the specifics of that case.
She was a history teacher, and by all accounts, she was normal. I wouldn't have detected anything strange about her at the very beginning. But we started getting stories that were beyond weird. And weird for Philadelphia schools is weird. But this was beyond that. I got a couple students who complained that the first 3 days she talked only about Indiana Jones as a prelude to American history. Not showing Indiana Jones, just talking about Indiana Jones. And nothing was getting done. And at that point, I was thinking something is up here. And it got weirder.
Her instruction was way off, and the principal knew it, and she did everything that she could do to sort of coach, help.
And the faculty saw this and eventually kind of took steps to help her out of the process?
We had a really good staff. It's veterans, it's youth, it's veterans, and it's a very small school, so if one person is slipping, the whole school feels it. I think there were two teachers who maybe cursed her out. Really, once the process started, in about 2 or 3 months, she was out. She was either going to leave. She was given the option, you're going to leave or you're going to be marked unsatisfactory and the firing process will begin at the end of the year. Am I incorrect on that?
You're correct.
And then what happened, actually?
She left. She, I guess, early retired. Yeah, she was gone.
Okay, so even though Ms. Herring left the profession in this case, we could probably easily come up with an opposite anecdotal example, right? So to your mind, like, what's the real workable fix here?
You don't motivate people to do great by threatening to fire them. You need to give them room, you need to give them resources, and you need to say, look, I trust you. And if things go wrong, I'm gonna let you know, but I trust you, and I'm here to support you, and we're going to do this together. And we have that in our building, and you're starting to see teachers who maybe struggled or were sort of just going along with the groove, they're starting to change. And you're seeing people really, because once teachers have ownership of that, things can only get better. But if you take away that ownership, people just do their job and go home.
I guess just to put a final point on this, each of you, in the conversation surrounding how we pick the best faculty, pick the best staff, and how those staff are evaluated and then ultimately kept or kicked out of the system, what's the takeaway? What do you hope people understand?
When you create school culture, when you create any group culture, if you think about a sports team and the culture, it pulls everyone in that direction. And what I write about is that we had a strong culture of veteran teachers in the building, and that pushed her away. Miss Herring couldn't isolate herself. She couldn't hide. She couldn't form a clique of people who didn't care, because we would not allow it.
We care about the kids, and we're basically going to go to bat for them every time. Every time. That is our goal. We are there to educate the kids. And when we have someone, it doesn't matter who it is, when we have someone try to come into our environment and harm our children, we don't like it. We don't enjoy it. We don't want it. And we do everything that we can to not have that happen to our kids.
Well, Andrew Saltz, Carla Johnson, thank you so much for being on Newsworks tonight.
Thank you very much for having us.